Well, this past week, those of us in this country, the United States, have celebrated a special day. It's called Tax Day. That's the day that marks the deadline for filling out our taxes with the government. It's also a day that reminds us just how much of our livelihood winds up getting paid out in taxes. This money is a contribution that we are obligated to make based on our income. And I don't really know about many of you, I don't know many people in general who actually rejoice about this kind of contribution. There might be a few, but I don't hear people celebrating it very often. Now, this is a contribution, of course, that we must make, but we don't really have to be glad about that one. There are offerings that we make, that we are commanded to make, in fact, but we are also commanded to do so with joy and with gladness. A gift that is made in a begrudging kind of way, in a way that is against our will, isn't really a gift in God's eyes. We have to have the right attitude. It's actually a commanded thing. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians and read a set of scriptures that is familiar to us. 2 Corinthians 9, and I'll be reading verses 5 through 9. This is a scripture we often hear during an offertory. It, of course, is the scripture about the cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not a grudging obligation. Okay, so I think we understand the kind of attitude that is supposed to be included in an offering. And verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. The point is very clear. Not only are we supposed to prepare our offering, prepare our gift, and plan for it ahead of time, it's not something that catches us off guard. We're supposed to do that in addition to preparing our attitudes, preparing our hearts, so that when we do make our gift, it is something that we are glad to do. Let's go back over to 2 Corinthians 8 and read verse 12. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. The size of our offering is really inconsequential as long as our mind and our heart and our will and our attitude is right. We must have the right kind of attitude. And our gifts are only accepted when we have a willing mind. Any gift that we offer in a grudging kind of way is not truly a gift in God's eyes. And indeed, when we think about times that we have made offerings with a willing heart, a cheerful attitude, when it is something that we desire to do, we just normally wind up being generous. It's an act of generosity when we want to give, we want to help one another, or in this case, make an offering to God. This is something that will cause us to give as much as we can possibly handle ourselves, right? If we have a generous attitude, we give as much as we are able. And we want to do that. We want to give even more than we possibly could do, perhaps. But of course, we give what we are able. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles, and I'd like to read verses beginning in chapter 29, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. Now, in this example, David is preparing for the temple to be built, and there are offerings made at this point in time. 2 Corinthians 29, beginning in verse 1, and I'll read through verse 9. Ah, I'm sorry, I said 2 Chronicles, I meant 1 Chronicles. My mistake there, I mixed up my 2 Corinthians with my 1 Chronicles here. All right. 1 Chronicles 29. I'm honestly having a hard time getting my page. Okay, there we go. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God." So we get the context there. In verse 2, "Now for the house of my God I have prepared with all my might, gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses, the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord?" David gave of his own wealth and abundance a tremendous amount. The 3,000 talents of gold is a vast quantity. That's millions and millions of dollars in today's accounting. And then he asks that question, who else is willing to give? In verse 6 we continue, "Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of the thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord, into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly." The children of Israel gave with a loyal heart, and they rejoiced. They were very glad to give the things that they had. They had all of this precious material. They had gold and precious stones. And what did they do? They gave it. They gave it not to a man, they gave it to God. Of course, they gave it to God for the intention of building the temple. All of these things were built, and it was a grand a grand structure, right? Let's scan down to verse 14 of 1 Chronicles 29. And we'll read 14 through 16. This is David reflecting after all of the offerings have been made. He says this, "But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord God, Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand, and it is all your own." This is a reminder to us that any offering that we might make, it all comes from God in the first place. Any accumulation of wealth, any advantage, any blessing that we may enjoy in this life, it comes from God. When we make an offering, and we do so in a way that we rejoice in doing it, we are simply giving back to God who gave us what we have. David reflects on this by putting it all into perspective. He acknowledges that abundance is not from anything that he could do. He realizes out loud here that this offering in God's eyes is, or in the grand scheme of things, is relatively insignificant. Who are we? Who am I? Not much. It's the attitude with which we give that God measures this offering. And of course, the ability to give in the first place is a gift from God too. We have that. It's kind of circular. It's a gift even to have the opportunity to give. So with this first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we are commanded to make an offering, and I will read for you in Exodus 23 and verse 15, where this is instituted. This is written, "You shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you, at the time appointed in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty." So as we make our offerings today, on this holy day, we can rejoice about it. Our gift, our offering to God, comes from the blessings that he has given to us. And it goes back to him right now. This is our acknowledgement to the dedication of God's work. This offering is for that purpose. It is an expression of our thanksgiving and gratitude for what God does in our lives. How has God worked in your life? It's a privilege to have the understanding that we do today, and is even a privilege to make this willing offering and gift to God right now. So now, brethren, we will have a special music, of course, and we will be taking up an offering to God with a joyful heart.